Meredith Heller. She's the author of Writing by Heart. You use prompts in your book there, and there are several that I want to talk about. One of them, one of the prompts that you use is let your body speak. You actually, like, we can ask our heart to write, or ask our liver to write, or ask our womb to write, whatever it is. So talk about that prompt.
Absolutely. So I was a body worker for 27 years and, you know, worked with hundreds of thousands of bodies. And the biggest thing I learned was that the body carries all of our stories. And if we invite the body to teach us its stories, its wisdom, it will show us how to heal. And so many of us have, you know, wounds or injuries or surgeries or things that hurt. And so we block our bodies off because who wants to feel the pain? This is a natural thing to do. And yet we lessen our vitality when we do this. So we're basically calling the body back home by inviting it. Tell me your story. Why do you hurt? Tell me how you're a warrior, you know? Tell me how to heal you. And so, you know, we start out with hands, which are very complex, but not very vulnerable. And we work our way to more vulnerable areas like hips and belly and vagina. And wow, it gets juicy, the stories. And again, you know, to weave this into what we were talking about before about being witnessed, especially around body stories, I think there's a lot of people, a lot of us who have a lot of shame around body trauma, body image. And so to air the stories and to share them and to have them be heard and held by others who say, oh, I feel that way too. I get it. And so one of the things that happens is when one of us shares one of these stories that maybe we kept hidden because it was shameful, when we hear someone else share that, it helps us to own and to embrace and to claim the wholeness of ourselves. And in this way, we come into deeper self-acceptance where more of our vitality is available. And this is magic.
Oh, yes. You know, it reminds me of a story. One of, besides the body speaking, there is when you were teaching in a school, and there was a little boy you write about who was very, he just said, well, what's the use of this? This writing, this doesn't mean anything. It's not doing anything for me. And he was very resistant.
Yeah.
And you had him write, you use the prompt of maybe the elements, air, fire, water, earth, you know, to use the elements. Do you recall this little boy and what happened?
This was a kid that I was teaching in juvenile hall. And what he was saying, I love that you brought this up. It's such a poignant story. He was saying, Meredith, why should we write? We're locked up. What does it matter? And I said to him, the only place you have absolute freedom where you get to make the rules is in your imagination. So let's make the most of it there. Let's hang out there together and bring something to life. So what happens if we shapeshift and become an element? What kind of power? Because he felt powerless, understandably powerless, right? And helpless. So what can I help him to have power with? So let's become an element that has this innate, instinctive power. And he became fire. And in his imagination and in his poem, he wrote that the fire burned down his family home with all the dysfunction that he had grown up in. And he freed himself, even though it was destructive, the way we know fire can burn through a forest and then plants and flowers that haven't grown there in 10 years come up. So he basically wrote his way to a rebirthing. And everybody in the class cheered him. And he had never had that kind of celebration of him or what he brings forth or the encouragement to make something out of nothing, to trust his imagination. A kid who's lived in survival mode his whole life now has this imagination where he can be, you know, a superhero fire element. So it was thrilling.
I just see this kid, you know, standing there and for the first time reading aloud this piece, and then everyone in the room spontaneously cheering for him. The power of doing this kind of writing. There was another one. There's another prompt that I loved. I just love this one. It really got me. It was one of how do you pray? When did you learn? Where are you now with prayer? That was so rich for me.
Yeah, thank you. I love that one too. It really is an invitation to recreate how we pray, especially for anyone who grew up with a religion that taught them how to do something, probably before they got to have choice around, does this mean anything for me? And I guess for me, always being a bit of a rebel and challenging whatever I could, looking for things that actually held meaning for me, I was inviting people to say, how do I pray in a way that is meaningful, in a way that I believe in, that includes things that make sense to me, and that we can recreate this practice of prayer new for ourselves, whether that's, you know, sitting outside in the morning, thanking the sunlight and the trees, or, you know, even walking through a city and being amazed at the myriad of people and the rhythm that happens. There's a musicality even that happens in busyness and chaos. So really we can be in a prayerful mode anywhere that we are, and create it in a way for ourselves that is meaningful to us.
You know, Meredith, because it was on my mind, because I've just finished your book and really was all immersed in your book. So it was on my mind. And yesterday, I just did this spontaneous prayer because I was feeling so distraught about the world,
yeah,
and what's going on in the world, and all the in the politics and in the war, and people starving and people dying and people killing one another, and just, I mean, it goes on and on and on. And I just had this moment of overwhelm.
Yeah.
And I did, right here at my desk, I folded my hands and I prayed to all my ancestors. I prayed to all the guides in the invisible world. I prayed for all the help that could be. And I turned it over. You know, I turned it over. I said, okay, This is bigger than me. I'll do my part. Please help. Mm-hmm. And it comforted me. There is something very powerful in prayer itself.
It's so beautiful. And in finding our, like you were saying, in finding our own way with it, you know, our own words, our own props and motions, and that we can do it anywhere, anytime, and that it's available, and that it doesn't have to look a certain way or be in anybody or any other way of any other kind of program. You know, we can just really, in a way, it's very much like writing poetry. It is a creative process of taking in and letting go, a gathering and a dispersing. And I love what you were saying about turning it over. This is the trust. This is creative process. Creative process, Justine, is prayer.
Ah, yes.
That's what I just got in this moment.
Right.
Yes.
It is. Absolutely. I mean, we define prayer as okay, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, or the Lord's Prayer, you know, or whatever. No, it's the creative moment. I agree with you. I'm just so there with you. And I'm remembering a phrase that you used in the book that really struck me. And this is where metaphor comes in so much. Like, this kind of writing helps me to breathe underwater. That's a metaphor, but I get it. Somehow I get it, Meredith.
It's so beautiful. I love that line that you just said, helps me to breathe underwater. It is a lifeline. It gives us an extra sensory facility to navigate our way, to be able to not only survive, but thrive in whatever environment we're in, to be able to adapt and take what we need and exchange in reciprocity and symbiosis. We are part of this living web.
Exactly. And this little boy really demonstrated it. He now has a facility with his imagination. I want to remind again our listeners, I'm here with Meredith Heller. She is the author of Writing by Heart, A Poetry Path to Healing and Self-Discovery. And she does, writing online. She does lots of workshops and ways that you can tune into her work at meredithheller.com or get there through newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. Here with Meredith Heller, and we're talking about writing by heart. Oh, I love that. That's the title of your book. And you know, writing by heart, it's, we say when we know something by heart, it's almost like, oh, we've memorized it because we know it by heart. But that's not the by heart that you're talking about, is it?
There's a little bit of that in it. What I'm really going for is this fluency with the creative space.
Yes.
So the more we do it, it becomes part of us. It becomes a friend, really, that we can trust, that we can return to whenever we need it, where we nourish ourselves, renew ourselves. Something, it's that feeling of doing something by heart, that it is so natural to us and instinctive to us. And that's what I'm wanting to recreate in bringing people back into this ancient practice of writing, especially with paper and pen.
Is it you are inspiring us to this practice of writing, practice, and you call it practice very specifically because it is not a perfect thing. It's not perfection of writing. It's the practice of writing. But the way you talk about it is it's not a to-do list. Like there are a lot of books about how to journal and to do and, okay, you do your 4-minute practice every morning or you do this. Or it's I don't get from you, it's like a to-do list.
Yeah, it's such a good point. And also, it's really about being present with the practice. And one of the things I'm finding for myself more and more, I used to work really hard on my poems, like I might edit them 200 times before they got published. And now I'm not even that interested in the end product as much as I am the experience of being part of the poem coming to life, what I call poeming. Poeming, you know, being in creative space for me has always helped me to feel connected to something bigger than myself. Here we're talking about praying. And so to feel connected to something larger than myself, where I slip the small space and become more. And so in this process of the poem happening, there's no longer myself, the poet, and the poem that's being written. There is just a poeming. And coming back to writing by heart, we are in a place in our heart where we trust, where we're wide open, where we're strong and resilient and vital and curious and compassionate and befriending ourselves and this universe and being interested. Why am I here? How do I even have these thoughts? What is consciousness? What is it that I'm aware of this thing that is moving me? Who is it that's being moved? I mean, down to the existential essence of being. This is writing by heart, writing with heart, writing ourselves into our own hearts and the heart of life.
You mentioned earlier talking about writing with a pen, and you make a distinction between writing with a pen and maybe tapping on a keyboard, that there might be a difference for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I really feel that writing with paper and pen is a form of dance, and we've been doing it forever. And the way that using our hands engages our bodies and our nervous system, and I believe helps us to tap into visceral physical memories, it's a richer experience than just tapping. I think it uses the whole of our organism.
And as a body worker, then this is something that you're familiar with. It's not just, you really are.
Yeah, and there's something, I also feel that arms and hands are extensions of the heart.
I think of them like wings.
They're like wings,
the way
right?
That you're expressing yourself, you're just opening up and it looks like you're flying.
Yeah, these are our wings. I love that, Justine. And you know, people can try this for themselves. And like I was telling you before the program started, I have an ancient typewriter. I mean, really ancient. I think it's like from the 30s or 40s. And I will type poems on it because it uses an absolutely different part of my brain. And I'm never attached to the outcome. I'm always amazed at what comes out. So to have these different modalities, I can type away on my computer. I can type on an ancient typewriter. I can write by hand.
Yeah.
Listening in.
All of them above.
How does it pull for me? How does it engage me?
You give a voice to another chapter in your book that really excited me because I have a friend who really pays attention to this and she'll send us emails about it. And this is a chapter called Moon Dance.
Yeah.
And you talk about how the moon is just gives us there are many phases of the moon, and you help us connect with those phases. And this, again, is like connecting with nature right where we're living, because everyone can see the moon, even if we can't see the stars because of, like, lights in a congested area in a city, lights that you can't see. You can always see the moon.
I love it. That'd be a great title for your poetry collection. You can always see the moon.
Oh, I love it.
I love that. It's beautiful.
I'm writing that down.
Yeah.
So tell me about the moon and why you included that.
Yeah. For me, the moon is such a powerful symbol for all of our cycles, for embracing the cycles from the full moon where we are luminous and we are on, and we all know how thrilling and exhilarating that is when we are in that state, but that is not all the time. And the dark side of the moon is equally important. The fertile darkness, when it feels like nothing is happening and we don't have the energy to do anything, and yet under the soil, in the darkness, in the fallow, in the empty, in the undoing, is where anything and everything new begins. And so for me, being a kid who struggled with depression and had huge loss, to begin to see my cycles and phases reflected in her, the moon, I found an ally in the moon. And as I began to embrace my femininity and the strength and the multiplicity that we have as women and in our feminine nature, men or women, it gave me more wholeness and more freedom to be with exactly what is. This is how I'm showing up today. How do I be curious and make room for it? If it's empty or if it's full or anywhere in between. And there's Moon doing the same thing too.
I have a t-shirt that I got in Hawaii. Maybe you are familiar because I know that you have worked in Hawaii. And it's a t-shirt that shows Hawaiian names for the phases of the moon. It's like incredible. It's not just we talk about four phases in many Western cultures, but the Hawaiians or indigenous people look at it as much more rich than that.
Wow, that's amazing. I've never heard of it. I love it. Well, you know, it makes me It makes so much sense. And, you know, it reminds me of like the Inuit people with all of the names for snow. And the way
Yes.
that I say that we should have all of those different words for love. And so if we have all of these different ways to name every different tone of feeling from the lightest to the darkest, I feel it makes us richer. And we don't have to be a certain way to show up. We can be exactly how we are.
And you call it and you mentioned this several times in your book, the holy compost. So today we've been talking about holy compost in our lives, and poetry is just that. That's what it lends to us and brings to us. I want to thank you so much for all of the work that you do and what you've brought to us today. I want to tell our listeners, I've been speaking with Meredith Heller. She is the author of Writing by Heart, A Poetry Path to Healing and Self-Discovery. And her website is MeredithHeller.com. She spells her name MEREDITH, Heller, HELLER, MeredithHeller.com. Or you can get there from the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3820.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org, or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support, and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Michael Mead, author of Awakening the Soul, and the next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about a deep, soulful response to the troubles of the world.
Hey, do you want to make a real impact in the Black community? Join us where we connect you with Black-led organizations from all around the world. Get ready to get involved. Find the organization based on the location of interest. Follow us at supportblackcharities.org.
Hello, this is Boris Chassaigne. To get a feel on what's happening across the country, listen to Viewpoints. For reports, interviews, and documentaries on politics, arts and culture, the environment, housing, and more. Thanks to 30 journalists stationed in the Canadian provinces and territories. Local news nationwide. Mondays at 4:30 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM and streaming online at cjsf.ca.